Ladies and gentlemen, I am Palshia, moderator for the conference call. Welcome to Adani Enterprises Q4 FY24 earnings conference call. We have with us today Mr. Dhananjay Mishra from Sunidhi Securities, along with the management of Adani Enterprises Limited. As a reminder, all participants will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note this conference is recorded. I would now like to hand over the floor to Mr. Dhananjay Mishra of Sunidhi Securities Limited. Over to you.
Good evening, all of you. On behalf of Sunidhi Securities, we welcome you all for Q4 FY24. Earnings con call of Adani Enterprise Limited. We thank the management for giving this opportunity. From the management, we have Mr. Vinay Prakash, Director, AEL and CEO of Natural Resource Division, Mr. Bobby Singh, CFO, Mr. Saurav Shah, Deputy CFO, and Mr. Manan Vakharia, Head Investor Relations. Now, I hand over the call to the management to give the initial remarks, then we'll have to end the session. Over to you, sir.
Good evening all. We welcome you to the earnings call to discuss Adani Enterprises Q4 and financial year FY24 results. Adani Enterprises' new emerging core infra businesses under its incubation portfolio of energy and utility and transport and logistics vertical, that is Adani New Industries ecosystem, airports and roads are making significant strides in their operational and financial performance. The contribution of these assets to the overall EBITDA is now at 45% for FY24 as compared to 40% in FY23. We are delighted to share that the Integrated Manufacturing Division under ANIL has commissioned India's first large-sized monocrystalline ingot and wafer unit of 2 gigawatt capacity compatible for both wafer thickness of 182 mm and 210 mm. During FY24, the new emerging businesses under Adani Enterprises incubation portfolio demonstrated significant growth. ANIL Green Hydrogen Ecosystem revenue increased by 145% to rupees 8,741 crores, and EBITDA increased by 4.6 times to rupees 2,296 crores. The airports business revenue grew by 35% to rupees 8,062 crores, and the EBITDA grew by 45% to rupees 2,437 crores. Total income of incubating businesses increased sharply by over 66% to rupees 24,510 crores, and the total EBITDA increased by 47% to rupees 5,942 crores. The PBT increased by 104% to rupees 2,643 crores. The consistent higher contribution of these emerging businesses boosted the overall profit of Adani Enterprise. The consolidated EBITDA for FY24 increased by 32% to rupees 13,237 crores, while PBT rose by 56% to rupees 5,640 crores. Consolidated income stood at rupees 98,282 crores. Now coming to the project and operational updates on the major businesses. In our Adani New Industries Green Hydrogen Ecosystem, our target of 10 gigawatt green hydrogen integrated manufacturing ecosystem is progressing well. Validating the backward manufacturing integration, we have successfully commissioned India's first ingot and wafer plant with capacity of 2 gigawatt, which will go in already established solar module manufacturing capacity of 4 gigawatt. This will not only reduce dependency on imports, but also enhance better control on module production and prices. ANIL's wind manufacturing division's order book stands at 254 sets. During the first full quarter of operations, the division had supplied 47 sets. We have received the provisional type certification from Wingard, Germany for prototype 2 using our own anneals blades. Further, we are happy to inform that the India's largest 5.2 megawatt turbine, which we produced, is recognized as the bronze winner among 5.6 megawatt capacity by Wind Power Monthly, which is UK-based, which validates the quality and performance of our products globally. Now moving to the airports portfolio, we have inaugurated the first phase of the world-class terminal of Lucknow Airport, which can cater up to 8 million passengers per annum with elevated pathways separating the arrival and departure flows. During the quarter, 10 new routes, 7 new airlines and 18 new flights have been added across all the 7 operational airports. The passenger movement at our airports increased by 19% to 88.6 million. The eagerly awaited Greenfield Navi Mumbai project is on track for completion in FY25. Mumbai Airport won the Cargo Airport of the Year India Award, which demonstrates the quality of service and performance. Finally, in our roads portfolio, 4 out of the 10 projects are more than 70% completed in line with the target schedule, and the Greenfield Ganga Expressway project is progressing well. This leaves Adani Enterprise well poised to develop its incubating portfolio eventually as an independent listed verticals in their own right. Thank you. Now I will hand over to Mr. Vinay Prakash, who will take you through the highlights of primary industry portfolio. Over to you, Vinay sir.
Thanks, Gaurav. Good afternoon to everyone. Mining services, Adani Enterprise Limited is the pioneer of MDO concept in India with integrated business model that spans across developing mines as well as the entire upstream and downstream activities. It provides a full service range, right from seeking various approvals, land acquisition, R&R, developing required infrastructure, mining, beneficiation on-site, and transportation designated consumption points. Our success is underpinned by a commitment to excellent risk management and sustainable mining practices. The company is MDO for 8 coal blocks and 1 iron ore block. These projects are located in the state of Chhattisgarh, MP, and Odisha. The company has serviced its contract and the quantities delivered during the quarter were as per the schedule. In the current financial year, 24, the Lari mine has achieved its peak rated capacity of 5 million metric tons per annum in the second year itself of its full-fledged operation. The product volume during FY24 increased to 32.5 million metric tons. During the FY23-24, the revenue for mining services was rupees 2361 crores. And EBITDA was rupees 830 crores. Coming to iron business, integrated resource management business, we have continued to develop business relationship with diversified customers across various end-user industries. We remain number one player in India and endeavor to maintain this leadership position going forward. Over the past couple of years, the iron business has been exploring ways to tap into the newer market segment through initiatives like flagship e-portal, which is Adani IRM portal for the online trading of natural resources. By leveraging technology for faster and more reliable supplies, the portal has ensured ease of doing business for our retail customers, leading to a large market share of AL. IRM continues to target a balanced customer mix of retail and public sector enterprises customers. The volume during FY24 stood at 82.1 million metric tons. EBITDA for FY24 was rupees 5173 crores on account of improved realization on year-on-year basis. Commercial mining. Under commercial mining, we have one running mine in Australia, which is Carmichael Mine. The Carmichael Mine production increased by 47% to 11.2 million metric tons, and the shipment increased by 52%. To 11.2 million metric tons during FY24. The company is also having 6 domestic commercial mine blocks of coal. and two domestic commercial bauxite mines, which are in project phase. The projects are in the states of Maharashtra, Chhattisgarh, MP, Jharkhand, and Odisha. In our primary industry incubation portfolio, we have a company, we have a subsidiary company called Kutch Copper Limited. There we are putting up a 0.5 million ton plant at Mundra, and the plant has started its operation. We produced and dispatched our first batch of copper production to customers in March 2024. The commissioning of this first unit of its greenfield copper refinery project showcases the Adani Group's ability to plan and execute large-scale projects in record time. Yes, sir.
Thank you. We are ready for Q&A, please.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and one again. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. First question comes from Prateek Kumar from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Congrats for good results. I have three questions. Firstly, on CAPEX outlook, can you highlight like how do you see now FY25 in terms of overall CAPEX and maybe segmentation of the CAPEX in terms of various divisions in relation to in FY25?
Thank you, Pratik. So, from the CAPEX perspective, we are looking at a CAPEX of about 80,000 crores in the FY25, out of which major part of CAPEX will come from go in ANIL and airports business, which take up about 50,000 crores of CAPEX. Then the third would be in roads, which will, because of Ganga Expressway, there will be a CAPEX of 12,000 crores. And rest put together in other businesses, including because we are also starting our PVC project. So in PVC, there will be a CAPEX of about 10,000 crores, while remaining would be in data center at about 5,000 crores.
And what would be the exit capacity in various segments? Like, for example, in ANIL, what would be the exit capacity you're looking at in wind and solar and, you know, sari parks?
Yeah. So, see, the as we have informed that the overall capacity will grow to 10 gigawatt in the module integrated manufacturing, right from polysilica to modules. And in wind also, we will have a capacity of 3 gigawatt. So this CAPEX is going into that direction. For FY26, the other CAPEX would be for the initial requirements that we have to meet for our green hydrogen business also, which will be as a kickstart for our green hydrogen as well as downstream products.
Okay. And some questions on on operating numbers. The solar segment margins on a bigger basis have come down from 30% plus range to sub 25% range. Any specific reason here, or is it due to because of adverse pricing or adverse product mix?
No, so see, from a Q4 to Q4 perspective, the numbers are basically just there is a small dip because of the export to domestic mix. So in terms of domestic, the sale had gone up and against export, that growth was not that significant as was in last quarter. That's why there was a small change in the margin structure.
But is it Okay. But in near term, probably domestic is going to remain high in terms of mix or like...
So that mix should right now continue as what is in was there in the first 9 months of the period because of the orders that we have in hand, and this margin structure should remain between 25% to 30% for the foreseeable next 1.5 to 2 years.
And on this MDO service, so again last quarter we had like some dip in profitability in the segment on a unit basis that has remained there in this quarter. I have seen like in the presentation you have mentioned due to some change in service contract mix. So is this the margin range which you are looking at in MDO service?
No. So see, the margin for the quarter from a sequential quarter perspective has improved in Q3 because of certain change in the service contract mix. What will continue to happen is that with new mining services contract that become operational, the change which will happen from the PEKB mine to which was a significant portion of our EBITDA to other mines which have a lesser percentage in terms of contribution. So from the perspective of the margin, they will reduce, but on an overall basis, the profitability should now on an increasing trend in the next few quarters.
And last question on wind segment. You have given order book and the delivery sets. Is it possible to give this number in megawatts? Because we talk about capacity in gigawatts.
So all are 5.2 megawatt each turbine. So at 47 into 5.2 is what we have supplied in terms of gigawatt. And at 254 sets, at 5.2 megawatt each set, that would be the overall supply that we have the order book for.
Sure. Thanks, and I'll get back to the queue.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you, Pradeep.
Thank you. Next question comes from Brett Knoblauch from Cantor Fitzgerald. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my questions and congrats on the strong finish to the year. I guess my first question is on the recent announcement that you guys finally commenced operation of your copper plant. Can you just talk about the ramp cycle and timing of that and, when should we expect that to start to, materially contribute to financials? And is that demand, maybe just long-term, can you talk about what the demand profile for copper is in India maybe today and what it will look like in a couple of years and how you're well-positioned to meet that demand?
Sure. Vinay sir, would you like to take that? Hello?
Yes, sorry, I think I missed the question because I was on another call.
I'll just explain. What Brett is asking is that the copper business, how do you see the ramp up in the coming quarters and as a overall, how do you see the demand in the coming 2-3 years?
Yeah, thanks for the question. In fact, copper, as you all guys might be seeing it globally, the copper prices are going up because of the increase in demand on a global basis for the focus on renewable where the copper consumption is going to go up. So in India, we consume close to 1.1, 1.2 million tons of copper metal, which is likely to go up because of the government focus on renewable power where we are going to have a high consumption of copper. As far as KCL is concerned, we started our production in March 24th, and in this year, we are going to commission all our units by the end of FY25. So for this year, we are not going to achieve the peak, but FY26, we are likely to achieve our peak capacity of 500,000 tons. And we see a very good demand coming from India itself. So as of now, we see a mix of domestic and exports of the volume, but the portion of domestic is going to go up year by year. I hope I answered your question.
Awesome.
Or that you have...
No, perfect. Very helpful. And then on the on the airport side of the business, I believe coming up over the next couple of maybe quarters, years, there's additional airports that are going to be privatized or up for auction. Is that something that you guys would look at entertaining? I think it's 11 is going to come up soon, and then 14 additional airports coming up after that.
So, Brett, we will surely look at that because, see, we are looking at it from a more of a network perspective in airports business. We want to ensure that we are there as a network player, which gives us a very big strength in terms of route planning, in terms of the strategy development that we want to do. We are looking at it from a consumer perspective, so that even makes more sense from a cargo perspective. Having a big network also increases our strength. So we will surely look at the airports which come up for privatization. I think this should happen post elections, that the government may come up for a pipeline for privatization, and we will 100% bid for projects for airports which are in our core strength of the network that we want to develop.
Got it. Awesome. And then maybe moving to data centers, it seems like a couple of the projects are nearing completion. I guess, what type of capacity are you expecting to have for that business by the end of FY25? I'm guessing both Noida and Hyderabad will both be completed.
Sorry, Brett, can you repeat the question? I didn't get that.
Yeah, on the data center business, can you just talk about what you expect capacity or, you know, operational capacity to be by the end of, the new fiscal year?
Sure. So, see, in the data center business, Chennai is fully operational at 17 megawatt. The billing for about 12 to 13 megawatt is already going on. It will keep on increasing. In case of Noida and Hyderabad, it is 81 and 88% completed already, respectively, from a core and shell perspective. We are already having the signed orders, so as soon as the construction completion happens, we will start the operations there and the billing should start. In Pune, we recently signed up contracts for 96 megawatt. So that order book has now reached 210 megawatt in the data center business, as against 112, which we reported up to Q3. So that business is poised to grow. The billing will be all dependent on the enterprise players that are there, hyperscale players that are there. So as such, we are looking to have the billing started for Noida and Hyderabad in the by FY25 and in Pune by FY26. So all the overall 210 megawatt which we currently have, we are signing up further contracts also, but whatever we today have as 210, we should be having a full billing capacity by FY26 on all the three places, that is Noida, Hyderabad, and Pune.
Awesome. Thank you. And then maybe if I could just ask one more on the wind turbine manufacturing. Obviously, it's nice to see that ramp up, especially quarter over quarter. Can you just maybe help us from a modeling perspective model revenues for the wind revenue? Or wind manufacturing revenue, I guess, of the 47 wind sets sold, I guess, how much revenue did that generate in the quarter?
So in wind manufacturing, on the full quarter of operations that we had, the first full quarter of operations that we had this year, we supplied 47 sets. In that, because of that 47 sets, the revenue that we generated was about 850 odd crores on the 47 sets, and the EBITDA was about 120 crores was the EBITDA that we generated out of those, based on those numbers. So that's how the trend will be. in the coming few months, because few quarters, because we already have full complete year of order book which is available for this business up to the next FY26 first quarter till that time. Yeah.
And what's the ramp capacity on that? So 47 this quarter, is what can that get up to on a quarterly basis?
So on a quarterly basis, that can go up to about 55 sets per quarter. On the current scale, if we are also looking at expanding that facility, and once that expansion gets over, we can take it to double of the capacity each quarter.
Awesome. All right. Thank you guys very much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Brad. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Anuj Suneja from ICICI Prudential Life. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. I hope I'm audible.
Yes.
Yeah. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. Partially my questions have been answered in questions of Brad. Just to follow up on the airports piece, so would it be possible to break down the growth that we are expecting going forward in the aero and the non-aero part of the business? Because our other competitors kind of share that number, and if I were to say do some competitive benchmarking there, would it be possible to share those numbers, and how are we looking at it, say, 2-3 years down the line?
Yeah, thanks, Anuj. That was a great question. So we will also come up with this as we move forward in that business. As you know, because of we just took over this business during COVID, and there were certain aberrations in that. Now everything has been streamlined, so we will also come up with the aero to non-aero ratios as we move forward in the next 6 months or so. Currently, the ratio is, except Mumbai, the ratio is very skewed towards the about 75% comes from aero and 25% from non-aero in our six airports. Mumbai is better at about 50-50, but as you know, from a consumer perspective, when we look at what Adani and is looking at this business, we are constantly trying to move that ratio towards how it is being done at the international level, towards 75, which may come from non-aero, to 25, which comes from aero. So that's how we are also poised to grow this business. In the next 2-3 years, you will see a very big change in terms of the ratio from aero to non-aero.
Great. Very helpful. And going forward, is there something that we have in mind as a strategy just to push non-aero, given that we have our app as well, the Adani One app? So are there any strategic initiatives that we have just to push on the non-aero side of the business?
Sure. No, 100%. We are constantly looking at a lot of things that we can do in terms of pushing the non-aero envelope and bringing in more wallet share from not only PAX but non-PAX. Our touch points at the airports is not just 90 million passengers that we cater to. Our touch points are nearly double of that. So we are catering to not just 90 million but nearly 250 million odd touch points. So that wallet share, once it grows, it will be a very big number. So that's how we are looking at this business. You will see, we are already seeing a lot of change that we are bringing in at the Ahmedabad airport, at Mumbai airport. There is a huge development that is taking place outside the terminal hard boundaries, and that we will continue. Our first phase of city site development has also started at Mumbai, so that all those will change the entire dynamics there.
Great. And since we just touched upon Adani One as well, so historically once we had shared some metrics around the Adani One app. How is that faring these days?
So currently the number of users on the Adani One app have reached 30 million odd number, which is constantly growing. And with currently that is more about airports that it is working on. But as we bring in more and more our customer, this business is into that number is poised to grow. Because service, being a service industry that we are in, it makes sense for everybody to use the app for a lot of activities that they travel for.
Got it. My second question is again a follow-up to Brad's on the Adani Connects part of it. While I understand you have about 220 megawatts of data centers that have been put in, a lot of competitive intensity is also actually intensifying from the Amazons and the Googles of the world. So what are our business plans in terms of are we going to lease it out to them or do we have a different set of customers altogether? And pardon my ignorance there if you've already spoken about that.
No, Anuj. See, for us, Googles, Amazons, Microsofts, and any other large hyperscale player are our customers. They are not our competitors. So we have them as our partners. We are working with a lot of them. And they that's where we are like looking to develop that relationship through Edge Connects, because Edge Connects already has a very good relationship as our JV partner with this kind of customers, and there we are already developing that. The in terms of competition, I think there is a lot of space available within this sector for future development, not only for us, for all the players. See, India today, our own data resides outside in a very big number. So once with the government policy on bringing our data back to shores, plus a lot of data requirements are constantly going up. So all these makes the, even whatever number we produce, we come up with, there will be constant increase that we are seeing in the overall data center requirements. So we see a very large number there. So to and we don't see any impact on the on competition on the current set of numbers that we have.
Perfect, perfect. And a very basic question I had on data centers, what does this 1 gigawatt translate into? Is there a standard translation or is it more of a hazy picture?
No, sorry.
We are talking about in power terms.
Questions offline because there are other players.
That's fair. And finally, one piece on the coal business or the international resource management business. Given that there have been ESG concerns historically around this business, how are we planning to go forward with the IRM and the coal energy business? Just final thoughts on that.
Vinay sir, would you like to take that?
Yeah, you said energy concern or you said the
ESG concerns on the coal and IRMPs? Yeah.
In fact, if you talk about ESG concern, the way we have been doing this coal business is that it's actually a service function where we are fulfilling the need of our customers. We are not consuming this coal of ourselves. And secondly, we are always trying to see as how we can use the various means to cut down the emission happening either in terms of road transport, in terms of multiple handling, and in terms of the storage of cargoes. And that's the only thing which we can do in terms of ensuring our commitment towards ESG.
Okay, and the mining side of things, so the Carmichael mines or... there also, are we just providing services?
Carmichael mine or the mine which we have as MDO in India, this coal is getting used by someone else, not by us. We are mining and supplying coal to someone. But when we speak about India mining, we are the only miner who has employed the silo loading with the fast loading system in which we can load a train in 1 hour compared to the normal conventional hours of 6 to 7, which helps to reduce a lot of consumption of diesel in the rakes which stand at the mine site. Similarly, we use continuous miner, we use many initiatives which are reducing the emission and the methane emission in the mining area. Similarly, in Australia, we are using big equipment to ensure that we have less number of equipment flying on the earth and ensuring that environmental issue. So whatever best we can do in terms of being a responsible miner, we are doing and making sure that it is having the least concern as far as the ESG is there.
Perfect, sir. Very helpful. Thanks, Adan. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Next question comes from Nikhil Abhyankar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the opportunity. So if we look at a solar manufacturing business, so the realizations are still very strong at around 40-42 odd cents. So where exactly are these exports going? Are they majorly going into US and the European markets?
Yes, if you will see the module sales numbers that we have published on slide 16, a larger part of our sales is happening to in exports, and that has grown by nearly 152% over the last year, and it's and because of that the margins have improved.
If you can quantify what is the order book of our solar manufacturing business and what is the share of exports in it?
So, in terms of order book, we are currently booked for nearly 1.5 years going forward.
Okay, so even if you assume a 3 gigawatt of production, so around 4-4.5 gigawatts.
Yes, yes.
And the exports share will be?
About 70% of that.
70% of it. So, is it fair to assume that the realizations are up majorly because of the UFLPA Act? And how do you see this realization trend going forward, say, after two or three years? Because eventually the global module prices are ranging in between around 20-22 odd cents again.
So, see, for us, we are looking at this business not just as a module business, but as a green hydrogen ecosystem business. The green, going forward, we currently are selling outside, but the way our plans are on green hydrogen, going forward in another year's time or so, a lot of it will be self-consumption for us. So we are not that too worried on the numbers and this, but yes, for the foreseeable 1 year period, 1.5 year period, we see that the margins will be in the range of 25-30% for us, which we are happy with in terms of the overall plans.
Okay. And so, just one question on the wind. So you mentioned, is the wind order book majorly group captive?
Yes, currently yes.
Entirely, 100%?
Yes.
Okay. And so just a final question. The airport EBIT is negative, but the EBITDA is positive. Any specific reason for that, sir?
So there was, one is that at the PBT level we are still working on the business in terms of getting it positive. And also there was a one-off exceptional item in the airport business, which will not, which has put pressure on the PBT actually.
What was the value of it? So if you can quantify.
It's 627 crores. It's there in the results numbers that are there. That is because of the provision that was made for fees which we had to pay to AA.
Okay. And so just a final bookkeeping question. So what is the gross block for the copper project?
So the current gross block for the copper project is 6,000 crores. As against our total project cost, which will move towards 7,500 crores by the final completion of the project.
Sure. Sir. Thank you and all the very best.
Thank you. I request the participants to restrict with 3 questions in the initial round and join back the queue for more questions. Next question comes from Nirav Shah from GC Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. 3 questions. Firstly, can you just clarify that the 641 crore of EBITDA that we've reported in the ANIL ecosystem includes the 120 crore from wind equipment? Or it's separate?
Yes.
It includes?
Yes, it includes.
Okay. So second question is just a bookkeeping one. What is the EBITDA from the Australian operations for fourth quarter and third quarter?
So in Australia, the EBITDA we have has about 1300 crores for FY24, and the quarterly EBITDA is about 400 crores.
So 400 crores in the fourth quarter and 1300 crores in the full year.
Yes.
Okay. And so last question, I mean, can you just share the volume guidance between how much are we likely to do in Australian operations, because we were doing some capacity ramp-ups over there, as well as the MDO business?
Vinay, sir, do you want to take that?
Yeah. So in Australia, we should do close to 14.5 million tons this year, FY25. We'll try to touch 15. That should be between 14 to 15 million tons. So going from current 11.2 to 14 to 15 million tons. And as far as mining services is concerned, we did 30.9 million tons FY24. We will definitely try to see if we can touch close to 50. 45 to 50 should be the reasonable number.
45 to 50 million tons. Perfect, sir. Great. And thanks a lot and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nirav. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Girish A. from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sorry, I had a basic question around data centers. I wanted to understand the real scope of the business. What exactly is, like, are we builders and then do we lease it out? What is the kind of rentals or realizations that you get? And then if you can explain the business model a little bit, please. And then in terms of CapEx, what's the current gross block and how will it shape up as we ramp up this business? Thanks.
So Adani Enterprises, through our joint venture at Adani Connects, which is a joint venture between Adani Enterprises and Edge Connects, we are doing this business. We currently have one data center which is operational in Chennai, and Noida and Hyderabad are on course of final construction phase into those two. Recently, we have signed the order book for Pune also. Now, from a perspective of overall business, it's a business where the gross block actually will not come and sit on AL books because it's a joint venture, so there is an equity consolidation. But on a layman terms, about 45 crores is the cost for 1 megawatt. So that's how the construction cost comes in. And on an EBITDA perspective, this business has an EBITDA of about 8 crores per megawatt. So that's the overall overall numbers on that business. And in terms of your question on leasing out, yes, the income comes by way of rentals because the space is rented out to the hyperscalers as well as small enterprise businesses, and that is how we get the money. The power cost is generally a pass through that we get in this business. For any further questions, we can take it offline because there are other participants in the queue.
Yeah? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Girish.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. I repeat, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. We have a follow-up question from Prateek Kumar from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I have a couple of follow-up questions. Gave guidance of an MDO and coal mining business, Australia coal mining business. Any guidance that you can give on iron business as well in terms of volumes?
You spoke about iron ore, no?
No, IRM business, sir, the trading business.
IRM business. So iron business is actually a demand-supply business. Depends how the country and country behaves as far as the import of coal is concerned, as well as the different core services business are concerned. So we always try to see that we win as much as possible, but the number purely depends on the demand supply. So, you know, giving a guidance on number is actually going to be difficult.
Okay, and the IRM margins have remained elevated. Is this still some high price contract benefiting the IRM business? Are there some high price contracts continue to benefit the IRM business in current quarter as well?
No, so we have some pending contracts, and then we have to add some more contracts which will take the volume from the current pending volume to the high volume. It is an average by average one, so no, definitely it will be difficult for me to give you any indication and what will happen in quarter one and FY25 as far as IRM margin and IRM quantities are concerned. But I can assure you that considering that we are now there in the complete supply chain and we are number one in, as far as the volumes are concerned, we will maintain a good position in IRM for this year also.
Okay, and the last question on leverage. We ended this year's net debt at around 41,000 crores at FY24 end. With the kind of capex which was highlighted earlier in the call, what is the leverage we are looking at by the end of FY25?
So, see, Pratik, from a net debt to EBITDA perspective, we have maintained that we will not go above 5. That's what our target is, and we will continue to ensure that that does not happen. For that, if there is a requirement, we will bring in additional equity that will be required. So that's how we will maintain that. Even for FY25, our guidance for the net debt to EBITDA, it would be less than 4 times. Because we go as a modular structure into our Anil business, so the EBITDA gets generated as soon as the project gets over. So that's how we will continue there. So that by the overall guidance will not be changing.
Sure, these are my questions. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Next question comes from Brett Knobloch from Cantor Fitzgerald. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Maybe just some guidance-related questions. If we could start on the solar side, I guess, what should we be modeling for module sales for FY25, and what is your total capacity standing at now?
So the current capacity is 4 gigawatt, out of which we have, based on that capacity, we have supplied 2.7 gigawatt during this year. And we are looking to reach the capacity utilization of about 90% in that business. So we are looking at about 3.6 to 4 gigawatt of volumes in the coming year.
And is any capacity coming online this year?
So we are constantly looking at it. Like there are plans to increase the capacity also, because we want to have that 10 gigawatt achieved over a period of next 2 years. So that is already in pipeline, but we generally don't give that guidance on this thing. So yes, it is there as an overall guidance. We will reach 10 gigawatt as an integrated manufacturing facility.
Perfect, thank you. And then maybe on airport guidance, I guess, what are you expecting from passengers for this year? Obviously, we saw nice growth last year. I know Navi Mumbai is still currently being complete. Quite help this year, maybe towards the fourth quarter. But any insights into what we should be expecting from a passenger perspective?
So, see, this year we grew by about 20% in terms of the passenger movement that we had. And that similar trend should continue with addition coming from Navi Mumbai once we start that, which will be by the end of the coming year, in end of FY25. So then there will be an exponential jump in FY26 because of the new greenfield project that will be completed. But otherwise, we are looking at in the same range with the airlines ordering newer and newer planes and how the market is looking up. We see that the growth will continue in airports.
Thank you. Then maybe just on a consolidated basis, yeah. Any insights as to what you're expecting from a revenue growth or adjusted EBITDA for the year or adjusted EBITDA margin expansion? You know, I would assume with the incubating businesses continuing to outpace growth of the established businesses, we would see some consolidated adjusted EBITDA margin expansion again this year.
So, see, the EBITDA margins will, EBITDA margins, I would say, would be similar to what we are we have given this year as such. But in terms of overall EBITDA, there should be a growth because of the copper plant coming online, the wafer plant of 2 gigawatt coming online, wind turbine business stabilizing. So we have a good amount of pipeline that is there. And the EBITDA should grow based on that new pipeline.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Brad. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. There are no further questions. Now I hand over the floor to management for closing comments.
Thank you very much for coming on the call. Looking forward to meet you again in next quarter. And thank you, Sunidhi, Mr. Dhananjay, for organizing this. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using Door Sabha's conference call service. You may disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a good day.